UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals, bringing knowledge to your world. Here's Melanie Cole.
Our topic today is inferior vena cava filters and IVC filter retrieval. And here to tell us about that is Dr. Andrew Gunn. He's an interventional radiologist at UAB Medicine. Dr. Gunn, explain a little bit about deep vein thrombosis or pulmonary embolism. What has been the standard treatment for these and the evolution for prevention of them?
So both deep vein thrombosis, DVT, and pulmonary embolism, PE, are classified as venous thromboembolism, or VTE. And what they are blood clots that exist in the veins, and sometimes those blood clots can travel to the lungs, which can block the blood vessels going to the lungs, and that's called pulmonary embolism. And what causes these are many things. Sometimes people who have cancer are at a higher risk for having pulmonary embolism. People who are immobile either after surgery or because of trauma are at a higher risk. And some people have certain genetic disorders that also make them at a higher risk for forming these blood clots. And the most common treatment for these blood clots is to place people on blood thinning medicines, on anticoagulation medicines. However, some people are not able to get anticoagulation medicine because they've either had recent surgery or cancer to the brain, or they've been involved in trauma recently. And in these cases, that is when we place an inferior vena cava filter.
So tell us about those filters. Are they removable? Are some permanent? Tell us a little bit about them.
So inferior vena cava filters, or IVC filters, are essentially a metal cage, and they are placed through either a vein in the neck or a vein in the groin, and they sit in that large vein inside the abdomen and block blood clots from going from the lower extremities up into the lungs, where they can cause problems with breathing and with the heart. And so previously, the first generation of IVC filters were not removable. As soon as they were implanted, they were supposed to be there for the rest of the patient's life. But as we've come to learn, IVC filters themselves are not entirely benign, and so newer generations of IVC filters come with hooks on them, and so they become retrievable. And so I would say the majority of filters that are being placed now are retrievable filters.
And why do you need a retrievable filter, and what's the rationale for an aggressive approach to retrieving them?
Well, as I stated, you know, we're learning more and more that IVC filters themselves, when they sit inside the body, can cause problems. They can fracture. They can migrate from one location to another location. They themselves can penetrate through the veins and cause and contact the bone or an artery. And they themselves can actually cause blood clots and other or clots to form. And so leaving something inside foreign inside the body that you don't necessarily need isn't always a great idea. And so the idea behind retrievable filters is that we would provide protection for patients for a certain period of time when they most needed it, when they weren't able to get anticoagulation or they're most immobile, which allows us opportunities, you know, several months down the line to be able to remove those filters and remove any of those negative consequences IVC filters can possibly have.
So what's the accepted window of retrievability for these filters? And are there some impediments to retrieval of the temporary filters?
Yeah, I mean, I think that window is pretty broad, and a lot of that is going to be determined by, you know, the interventionalist's experience and comfort level. You know, we've pulled out filters as old as 13 to 15 years old. And so I think any time that the filter is ready to come out, I think it's worth, you know, trying to do the retrieval. Now, the impediments to IVC filter retrieval can be that sometimes the filters tilt and those hooks can become embedded in the IVC wall. Sometimes there's clot up and down the IVC from the filter itself or from the patient's underlying DVT, and that can sometimes make the filter retrieval difficult. Sometimes the filters fracture themselves, and so that can make retrievals themselves also more difficult. So I would say those are the most common things that make filter retrievals difficult. But I think an aggressive approach in certain cases, I wouldn't say in all cases an aggressive approach is warranted, but in certain cases, an aggressive approach is warranted when a patient is having symptoms comes from their IVC filter. Either there is clot that is formed and it's blocking off the IVC, or the filter itself is penetrated through the IVC and is causing, you know, pain or some other symptom, in which case, you know, certainly an aggressive approach is warranted.
So that leads me to our next question. And based on some of the symptoms the patient might be experiencing, how do you make the decision of your retrieval and what technique you're going to use?
Well, the first thing, you know, when a patient comes to see me in clinic to talk about IVC filter retrieval, is I ask myself, you know, if I saw this patient today, would I put a filter in? And if the answer to that is no, then I think that the filter, you know, we need to discuss taking out the filter. And so that really drives a lot of my decision-making process. And as far as, you know, how we decide to remove the filter, that also depends on the type of filter. Some filters are designed with hooks on the bottom, and so you need to come from the veins in the groin. Most filters are designed with the hooks at the top, so you need to come from the veins from above. And sometimes you can see that there's either been fracture or it's migrated, in which case sometimes we have to come from both above and from below and get access with a wire through and through the patient to be able to stabilize that filter and to be able to retrieve it. So most of those decisions about the technique and how we're going to do it is really on a case-by-case basis in consultation with the patient.
Is there a learning curve for this, Dr. Gunn? And what would you want to tell a physician that is practicing this retrieval technique?
There's definitely a learning curve. And I think, you know, when you're starting to remove filters, you're going to want to find filters that have been in for a short period of time, things that you're going to be able to retrieve quite easily. And the more and more comfort that you get with that, then of course, you know, the more and more aggressive you could potentially be with complicated filters. You know, if you're a physician thinking about, you know, trying to do a retrieval, you know, you're not going to want to start with a hook that's embedded or that's tilted or a filter that's fractured. That's something you're going to want to send off to, you know, a major referral center so that they can take care of that patient. And so the advice I would give is if you're going to start trying to do filter retrievals is to start slowly and to, you know, start with the straightforward cases to make sure you have a lot of success under your belt before you start to attempt more difficult retrievals.
Can you tell us something interesting about a particular case or diagnosis?
Yeah, I mean, one that sticks out in my mind is there was actually a nurse that came to us from South Alabama, and she had a filter in her for about 7 or 8 years. And ever since she had the filter placed, she was having back pain. And so she went to get a CT scan, and on the CT scan, they said she had colitis. And, you know, she's a nurse, and so she said, I definitely don't have colitis. And so she took the CT scan to another radiologist who noticed that one of the filter struts was protruding through the inferior vena cava and was digging into one of her lumbar vertebra. And so she assumed that that was the reason she was having back pain. She went to one physician to ask about filter retrieval, but the physician said that because it had been in for 7 years, that it could never come out. And she really advocated for herself. And so she, you know, did some Googling, looked online, and she found an interventional radiologist who's actually a friend of mine in Chicago, emailed him and said, hey, you know, can we set up a filter retrieval consult? And he sent her back down over to us, and we saw her here up at UAB. And so we set her up and we removed her filter. It took us less than, you know, 15 or 20 minutes to do. And instantaneously, when she was in the recovery room, she said her back pain was gone. And so I think it's just a great example of, number one, that IVC filters themselves can cause problems. And that, number two, you know, you need to be your own advocate. And then sometimes, you know, when you hear that this filter is not retrievable, you need to find your way to a center that retrieves a lot of filters to be able to discuss all of your options.
What an amazing point. And looking forward to the next 10 years in the field, what do you feel will be the most important areas of research for implanting filters and possibly retrieving them? What does current research indicate for future developments?
The biggest thing that's going on with filters right now would be, number one, we're doing large multi-center registries looking at retrievable filters because we don't have the, you know, 10-20 year safety profile that we had with the permanent filters. So that's currently ongoing right now. Number two, a lot of manufacturers are looking at either bioconvertible bioconvertible filters, which would be filters that would stay inside the patient, but say, after 60 days or 90 days, they themselves would convert into essentially just a stent in the IVC, and there would no longer be filtration of the blood. There's also filters where you can go in, and instead of retrieving the whole filter itself, you can pull off the cap of the filter, and that opens it up. And so you don't have to remove the entire filter, you just remove the filtration portion of the filter. And so I think, you know, in the next 5 or 10 years, I don't know what the role of those are going to be, but I think that's where things are going to be going in the next 5 or 10 years, is these bioconvertible type filters.
So summarize it, Dr. Gunn, because what a fascinating topic and what an interesting, you know, way that you're putting it in this decision-making process. Tell other physicians what you'd like them to know about inferior vena cava filters and retrieval and when to refer to UAB.
I think for physicians that are out in the community, they need to understand that, number one, filters are mostly retrievable. There's a lot of physicians that still think that we're using these older type greenfield filters that weren't meant to ever come out. So most filters that are going in today are meant to be retrieved. And then number two, if you do have a patient that does have an IVC filter in and they're not being followed up by whoever placed the filter, you know, it's really time to ask the question, does this patient still need it? If they're taking anticoagulation medicine, you know, such as Lovenox or Coumadin or Xeralto or something like that, and they still have an IVC filter, that's really time to refer the patient over to someone who can retrieve that filter, because that filter is not doing them any good anymore if they're already on anticoagulation. And then the third thing, as I said earlier, you know, the easiest thing to do is to ask yourself, if I saw this patient today, would I put a filter in this patient? And if the answer is no, it's also time to send that patient out, you know, to someone who can discuss whether or not that filter can be retrieved. And so, those would be the things that I think, you know, physicians should be asking themselves if those patients with IVC filters are not necessarily being followed by people who put the filters in, is to ask those questions and realize, hey, it's time to get this filter out because it could cause problems for this patient in the future.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gunn, for being with us today and sharing your expertise in this pretty interesting topic. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.